We're going to get into some things today that I think will be a blessing to you. As I was praying about it, I wanted to go in a different direction. I wanted to talk about baggage. I wanted to talk about how to be delivered from baggage. You understand that everybody's got some baggage in their life, isn't that right? And I studied and prepared and everything, but then the Lord showed me that that wasn't really it. That wasn't what He wanted to focus on today. And so we're going to believe God as we get into this idea of overcoming discouragement. I just sense that a lot of folks are discouraged today. I sense maybe a lot of you are discouraged today. I kind of sense it in the air, if you will, that there's a lot of discouragement. But by the time this service is over and by the time we hear the Word of God, I believe that that discouragement is going to fade away and you're going to be encouraged by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen to that today? Amen. Amen. And so I'd like you, if you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to open it up. And I don't have this whole passage on the screen. And so you're going to have to look it up if you're going to get it. But it's Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. We want to read a passage concerning Israel after they had come out of Egypt. Moses had led them out of Egypt and had brought them out of slavery and bondage into the wilderness. And during that time, there was a lot of things that went on. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn pertaining to Israel as they came out of Egypt. And notice now, if you're there, say yes. Numbers 21. All right, we're going to start reading at verse 4. It says this, and this again is concerning Israel. It says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Very discouraged on the way. Verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. I just want to make mention of this. You know, whenever you're discouraged, one of the last things you want to do is get mad at God and accuse God. You'll notice what it says. They spoke against the Lord. They spoke against God and against Moses. You know, it's one thing to speak against Moses, but they were speaking against God. How many of you know that's not a good place to be? And then they're complaining, and I'm not going to in any way suggest to you that any of us would be any different. I don't know that we would be any different. Humanity hasn't changed that much, but I will say this, that they had seen the Red Sea split in two. They had seen the miracles of God. They had seen the plagues come against Egypt until finally Pharaoh allowed them to depart. They had seen miracle after miracle, and now what does it say? They despise this loathsome bread, bread that was disgusting to them, which is referring to the manna God sent from heaven in a supernatural way in order for them to be fed. And God also provided water for them out of a rock. I mean, God always provided for them. And now they're in a distressing time. They're going through some things. They got discouraged, and they got discouraged so much that they began to speak negativity against God Almighty, who had already brought them out of bondage, brought them out of slavery, and the cruel taskmasters of Egypt, and now they're there. God has shown them time and time again His miraculous power. And what do? They despise the promise of God. They despise the provision of God by saying, we despise this loathsome bread, this manna from heaven. We despise it. And again, we need to be careful here, because as we read further, notice what it says. It goes on and it says, therefore, the people came to, let's go to verse 6, I think it was. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord, against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. And, you know, there's a lot that we can see in that as well. And I don't want you to get all concerned. Well, God sent these fiery serpents. One thing that we've learned in Bible study as of late, recently in our last series, we talked about the fact that in the Old Testament, they didn't have a lot of revelation about Satan. And so they applied many things to God that really Satan was the real originator of those things. But they opened the door. How many of you know complaining can open the door to some things happening in your life that you don't want? Isn't that right? I'm not saying fiery serpents or anything like that, but I am saying, thank God, you and I under this new covenant are under grace. Aren't you glad you're under grace? Is everybody all right here today? All right, but nevertheless, it can bring problems, and it even mentions this particular event in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul the Apostle is warning the Corinthian believers about not complaining and tempting the Lord their God, and gives this event and others about Israel as examples of it's not wise to do that kind of thing. But my point is this. One of the things we always need to remember is when we're discouraged, it's best if you can't say something that's full of faith, it's best to not say anything at all. Isn't that right? Unless, of course, you're discouraged and you want prayer. You want somebody to pray with you. You want somebody to believe God with you. That's a different story. But the complaining in a way in which it's hopeless, that's never the way God would have us act or in any way get victory. You're not going to get victory that way. Isn't that right? Is everybody okay? And so as we look at this from the Amplified Bible, especially verse 4, notice how the Amplified Bible says it here from Numbers 21, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient, depressed, much discouraged because of the trials of the way. And again, you know, we all go through trials, and we all have opportunities, and we all get discouraged at one time or another. I will admit to you that there are times that I get discouraged, and I just want to quit. And I'm just sharing my heart with you today. There's times when I say, you know what? Let's just sell it all and move south where it's warm and it's not 39 degrees in Burnt Hills like it was this morning on May 31st. You follow what I'm saying to you, all right? And so again, they were what? They were depressed and much discouraged because of the trials along the way. Now, what is the definition of discouragement? Practically everybody knows what it is intuitively, but let's find out some definitions of what discouragement is. It means to deprive of courage. I'll pause there for a moment. Really, discouragement means to not have courage, if we were to use it in a literal sense here. And so, again, to deprive of courage, to deter, to dishearten, to hinder, to show disapproval. And so a lot of times, you know, we get disheartened over life. We get disheartened over trials and tribulations. But I want you to know, and we're going to see some things pertaining to this by the time it's all said and done, I want you to know there's always an answer. And that Jesus wants to bring you successfully and victoriously through whatever trial you might go through. Are you following what I'm saying to you today? That if God is for us, who can be against us? And I know that there are things that happen, and I know sometimes things happen, and we don't know all the answers, and we don't always get the victory that we want, but I want you to know that God wants you to receive that victory in Jesus' name. Amen? There's a battle going on, folks. We're in a war. Sometimes the only answer I have for people as to why something happened, the only answer sometimes I have is we are in a war. We're in a spiritual battle. I'm not talking about, as I've said before not long ago, I'm not talking about Iran. I'm not talking about, you know, Ukraine. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about this spiritual war that's going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. We are in a battle, whether we realize it or not. And so, therefore, sometimes there are casualties. Sometimes there's issues. Sometimes there's things that are happening in terms of trials. But you know what? The answer is don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Because if you keep fighting the good fight of faith, you'll lay hold of those things God wants you to have. Are you hearing me? Amen? Amen. Everybody say, keep on fighting. And again, it's a fight of faith, right? Faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in His promises as we trust Him in all of that, knowing, yes, there is an adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says that we have an adversary, the devil, who goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And then it goes on and it says, but resist him steadfast in the faith. You see, he does go to and fro. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour me. But the promise, or really the admonition, is let's resist him. What does that tell us? If Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that means that Peter is saying by way of the Holy Spirit that we have the power to resist the devil. We have the power to rebuke him in that name that is above every other name. It's no accident that we're talking about the name of Jesus in so many songs today, that mighty name of Jesus. That name of Jesus carries the authority of the person Jesus. And when we invoke the name of Jesus against our adversary, the devil, he's going to tuck his tail between his legs and run off in Jesus' name. Amen. And so run him off in the name of Jesus. He is a defeated foe. And every now and then he needs to be reminded of his defeat. Amen. Amen. And so another part of definition is this. It is a feeling of dejection and heaviness in our heart. It has been described as feeling down, feeling blue, or feeling disheartened. It is often a state of desperation, which gives a person the feeling of hopelessness, Again, this idea of heaviness, heaviness of heart, of feeling dejected and all these various things. I know we all have been discouraged at one time or another. You might be thinking today, well, you know, I'm not discouraged today, Pastor. I don't need this message. Let me tell you, discouragement is going to come your way one way or the other. Isn't that right? You might as well admit it because it's true anyway. This is better preaching than you're looking, but that's all right. All right, so what are some of the reasons for discouragement? I'm not trying to propose these are all the reasons, but here's some of the reasons. First of all, one of the reasons is tired in body and soul. You ever been tired? And sometimes when you're tired, the best remedy, the best way to resist the enemy when you're tired is to get some rest. That's real practical, isn't it? That is real practical. But in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about this, and we don't have time to go there. I have verse 5 as a reference, but really with verse 1, it says this, being surrounded about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before him. And then verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And then it says, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be discouraged and weary in your mind. And so what does the writer of Hebrews say? He says this. He says, keep on running your race with endurance. Keep your eyes on Jesus so that you don't get discouraged in any way or get weakened by the things that are going on around you. Amen. Amen? And so we keep our eyes on him. How? By staying in the Word of God. I cannot tell you how many times when I felt discouraged, I just decided I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to open to the Psalms, for example. The Psalms is a great a bunch of books, many books. The Psalms are great for discouragement because if you read David's Psalms, David had a lot of opportunities to be discouraged. And a lot of them were self-imposed situations, weren't they? I mean, David got himself into trouble as much as any of the Amalekites or Philistines got him into trouble. Are you following what I'm saying to you? But yet David, in so many of his Psalms, he'll say things like, you know, the enemy is round about me, but you are God, are the lifter of my head. He'll say things like that and always point back to God, even though he's going through adversity of any kind. And so I can't tell you how many times when I've been discouraged and I just go to the Word of God, wherever, in the Gospels, in the Epistles or Psalms or wherever, and begin to read and how that discouragement would lift off of me because I'd get my mind off of the situation and I'd get my mind on him. I'd be looking unto Jesus in the Word of God and considering him instead. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. And so spending time in the Word of God, in fact, doing it daily is going to help you to avoid discouragement many times. You'll never avoid it completely as long as we're on this fallen earth. I mean, there's so much in the natural that we can be discouraged about. If you watch too much of the news, how many of you know you can get discouraged? You need to counterweight the bad news with the good news of the gospel. You hear what I'm saying? And you need more of the good news in order to outweigh the bad news that's going on around us in this world today. I mean, whether it be what's happening with Iran, whether it be terrorism, whether it be the crazy people in our nation that are doing stupid things and whatever. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to be discouraged. But you know what? We are of another nation. We are of a nation called God's kingdom. Isn't that right? And we need to make sure that our focus is on that kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we do, we'll be avoiding and combating and resisting discouragement in our lives. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so the first thing, tired in body and soul. Another thing, pressures of responsibilities can cause us to get discouraged in so many ways. And all of us understand that. We have pressures in life and what have you. Sometimes, you know, all these responsibilities and tiredness and a lot of the things I'm sharing with you, you know, a lot of times you get emotionally fatigued. You hear what I'm saying? And I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, many times I get emotionally fatigued. And I hope you'll have grace for me. Sometimes I think to myself, I should call so-and-so. But I'm just emotionally wiped out. I'm just emotionally fatigued, and I don't get to it, and I don't do it because I feel like, you know what? I just have to rest my mind. I have to rest myself before I'm of any use to anybody else. Can you relate to that at all? And so that happens so many times. And then, of course, disappointments. Things didn't work out the way you thought they would. You didn't get that job that you thought you were going to get, or your relationship that you thought was going somewhere didn't go anywhere, or whatever the case may be, disappointment in your kids, disappointment in whatever might be going on in life. That can cause discouragement. That could even lead, in some cases, even to a more extreme area of depression. I look at depression as being an extreme condition of discouragement. And so again, these are some ways that discouragement comes into our lives. How about this one? Comparing ourselves to others. I'll tell you, that is a big one in so many ways. You know, I got to tell you, sometimes over the years, and I'm better now in my older age. I'm not old. I don't have old age. I have older age. But in my younger years, you know, I used to think about, you know, I never had a lot of friends in high school or school, period. I was raised in a small area, a rural area and whatever. I didn't have a lot of friends, but I had a couple of guys that were friends of mine. One guy in particular I'm still in contact with. And you know, sometimes in my mind, I think about, what has happened in their lives. I mean, he became a PhD in engineering, worked for GE, and now he's retired. And we used to compete with math and physics and things like that. And yet he became a PhD and now he's retiring and did very well. And then another friend was a lawyer. And after becoming a lawyer, after a while became a PI, he did all sorts of things. But anyway, I sometimes in my younger years would compare myself and I'd say, but what am I doing? And I'm only sharing this with you because I suspect there's others that go through this thing as well. Comparing ourselves to others. It could be a sibling that you're comparing yourself to. It could be, like I mentioned, a classmate from years gone by that you're comparing yourself to. It could be your neighbor, trying to keep up with the Joneses, as they say. Isn't that right? But let me tell you what the Bible has to say about comparing ourselves to others, because the Bible is true and the Bible will help us and is relevant for today. Are you hearing me here? Notice what the scripture says, Paul by the Spirit of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Are you hearing me? And so without elaborating on every detail of that particular verse, let me just say to you that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, says it's not wise to compare yourself to others. And even, even in times of pastoring, sometimes I compare myself to another pastor. I think to myself, I'm not doing enough. I remember years ago, somebody came to me and said, Pastor, we should have a prison ministry. And I said, great, you going to start one? No, he didn't want to start one. He wanted me to start one. And one thing I found out in life, is if we spread ourselves out with too many things, we're never good at any one thing. Are you following what I'm saying to you? And so I purpose, I got to follow the grace of God that's in me. The grace of God in me is primarily to study, to pray, and to deliver the Word of God, to help people be discipled in the things of God. And along with that would be evangelism. I've got to focus on what I'm graced to do and let that other pastor, that other evangelist do what they're graced to do. And if we'll all do what God's grace is upon us and accomplish what we are supposed to accomplish each as individuals, then we'll all get rewarded the same one day when we stand before the Lord. And He says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that right? And so we just flow in the grace of God, the grace that He has upon us. And that applies to every believer, that He has a grace or a gifting or whatever in your life. Now, sometimes you have to throw down your rod, so to speak. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Aaron one time when he was challenged by Korah in the book of Numbers chapter 16, challenged by Korah, and Moses was being challenged as well, Moses and Aaron. And Korah gets up with his gang and says, that we can hear from God just as much as you can. Basically, Korah was trying to take the priestly ministry away from Aaron. And so what did they do? They tested it. And Aaron had a rod, Korah had rods, they all had their thing, and they cast down their rods, and the commandment of God was whichever rod budded, that was the one God had chosen. And of course, I think you probably follow it already, the one rod that budded was Aaron's rod, confirming that that's what God wanted him to do. And let me just say to you this, sometimes you just got to see a need. And when you see the need, you may not feel an unction toward it. A lot of things you don't have to feel an unction for. I do things every day I don't want to do and don't feel an unction for. But I'm talking about the main thing I might do. Isn't that right? And so what do? You throw down your rod, see if it buds. Throw down your rod and see if God blesses. In other words, put your hand to whatever you find to do and see if God doesn't help you to accomplish that which God wants you to do. Isn't that right? Sometimes you won't know until, you know, like Moses, when he lifted up the rod, he had to lift up the rod before the Red Sea was divided. Sometimes you got to do something to see if God's hand is in it. Isn't that right? You might not feel like it. You might not be able to figure it out. It might not be reasonable to your mind. But yet, if God is leading you, or possibly even more so, you see a need and you just, what? You just lift up your rod, so to speak, and see if God splits that Red Sea. Does that make sense to you today? And so sometimes you just got to throw down your rod, so to speak. And so, again, another scripture for this idea of comparing. Don't compare yourselves. It says this in Galatians 6:4. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Aren't those great verses? Amen? I'll tell you, they helped set me free. How about you? Amen? I mean, you can think about all sorts of things. You could be thinking about, you know, well, so-and-so, you know, they got this big house, I got this little house. And so you're comparing yourself. But you know, first of all, it doesn't matter. Houses don't mean a thing. One day you're not going to have it at all. Isn't that right? But secondly, you know what? Maybe your house is paid for or close to it, and they're in debt up to their eyebrows, so to speak, and they're struggling in finances, even though on the outside it doesn't look like it. My point is this: you don't always know what's going on in people's lives. Isn't that right? And so you're comparing yourself to other people, and you don't even know what's going on. You might be saying, oh, man, they have such a wonderful marriage. What's wrong with my marriage? You don't know what might be going on in their life. Is anybody with me here today? Hopefully, prayerfully, this is helping somebody. Notice what this fellow John Mason, it's a book that was written several years ago called An Enemy Called Average. How many of you know average is an enemy? Average basically means mediocre. God doesn't want us to be mediocre. We don't have to be if we're following him and doing what he wants us to do. But notice what John Mason said in his book, An Enemy Called Average. He said, average people compare themselves with others, but we should always compare ourselves with what God has called us to be and what his word says. Amen? And so even with this idea of what his word says, I remember, when I was younger, I thought to myself, and man, I'm not all that smart. I'm not doing as well as so-and-so's doing, I'm not doing as well, and I did do pretty well, actually. But I compare myself to others, and by doing that, I would hinder myself and begin to believe that. But think about this with the scriptures, and this is what helped set me free. The scripture says that I have the mind of Christ. The scripture says that the wisdom of God belongs to me. The scripture says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Is everybody hearing what I'm saying? And so again, don't compare yourself with anybody else. Compare yourself with what God's word says about you and begin to grab it and get it on the inside of you and begin to believe what God has to say about you rather than what anybody, including yourself, has to say about you. Amen? It'll set you free every time. It'll set you free every time. Now, I'm running out of time, so another thing, meditating or dwelling on the wrong things will cause you to be discouraged. Of course, Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8 reads this way. I'm going to read it fast. Everybody with me? You can follow along as much as you can, but I'm going to read it really fast. Is that all right? All right, so it's going to go like this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Again, this goes back to that same idea. What have you been thinking about? What have you been thinking about? If you're thinking about the wrong things, you're going to be discouraged, right? I got to move along here, but then also severe loss through death, divorce, bankruptcy, sickness, etc. Well, you know what? I'll tell you, God is the healer of the brokenhearted. Notice Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He delivers those who are discouraged. And so again, God is near. Not only is he near for the New Testament believer, but he's within you, the comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the comforter. And so you draw upon him and let him comfort you and strengthen you and watch what you think about. Think about the hope of the future, the hope in Christ that you have, no matter what has happened in your life. He's the healer of those that are broken in heart. And then Psalm 147 and verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Do you believe those scriptures today? And you see, if you're going through loss or you're going through any kind of discouragement, you can begin to say this about me. Father, I thank you that you're near me in my brokenheartedness, that you deliver me from being discouraged. Father, I thank you that you heal me and you bind up the wounds of my heart in Jesus' name. saved, you just confess, you believe the promise of God and take it by faith, by saying it to yourself, you're quoting the Word of God. And so you're not lying about it, but you're speaking what God's Word has to say, and He never lies. Amen? Amen. And so overcoming discouragement. Is anybody getting anything about this today? Overcoming discouragement. First of all, the first thing is, if it's due to sin, repent and confess. Aren't you glad that God is a forgiver? And sometimes we get discouraged because we know we fail. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I get discouraged. In fact, Pam will tell you, often, not always, but often, Sunday afternoons and Mondays are my quitting days. Because I think about things that I said that maybe I feel like I shouldn't have said. Or I think about something that I might have done wrong or whatever at church or whatever. And so, you know, I'm discouraged. And then, you know, the adversary, the devil, he wants to plummet your mind with all these things. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. People probably thought that about what you said. Or all this very thing. Or you looked at that person and they're offended because you didn't say hi. And the reality of it is I might have said hi and they didn't hear me. Or maybe I was so focused on what I was going to do that day in service and what have you that it just slipped my mind because I get focused sometimes. And so, you know, you get rattled with these thoughts. I should have done better. I didn't do good enough and whatever. And I know I am not the only one that goes through those things. Amen? And so you can get discouraged over those things and be getting so that you want to quit and what have you. And so, again, this idea of due to sin, repent and confess, sometimes it's not actually sin. Sometimes I actually find out, you know, I didn't say anything wrong, but in any case, the enemy wants to attack our minds. Let's go on. Remind yourself of the blessings and promises of God. One way to get out of discouragement is to remind yourself of the blessings and promises of God. Again, one of my favorite passages, a Psalm of David, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Remember, he was under the old covenant. You're in a better covenant than him. And this sounds pretty good right now. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many of you know there's a whole bunch of benefits in serving the Lord? Thank you, all five of you, for saying yes or amen. All right. Rest of you think on that, all right? But it says so even here. Then it says, who forgives all your iniquities? How many of you have been forgiven of your iniquities or your sins? Who heals all your diseases? How many of you have received healing at any time in your life? Healed all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? How about you? You know, when I was younger, that scripture, that last part didn't mean a whole lot to me, but it means a whole lot more to me now. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. That's why I say I'm not retiring, I'm refiring in Jesus' name. Amen. How about this passage? You can write these down if you want to. They'll be beneficial to you. Psalm 42, 5 through 6. The psalmist says this, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise him again, my Savior, my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. What's he saying? The answer to that discouragement is to remember him, to keep him in mind, to keep his word and promises in mind. That'll help you overcome that discouragement. And then the next thing is to pray. Praying, and we won't turn there because my time's almost out, but if you ever get a chance, read 1 Samuel chapter 31 through 8. I've actually got it on the screen. I'll read it. If you don't mind, I'll read it fast, okay? Let me just give you a little bit of the background. Is the Philistines, I believe it was, the Amalekites or the Philistines, I get these guys mixed up sometimes, they came in and they took all the families of David and his men, the women, the children, everything, and the goods. And it says this. It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites that had invaded the south and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city. They had been out to battle. And there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, they were in anguish over this, as you can imagine. And then it goes out, and David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed. You could say he was greatly discouraged. For the people spoke of stoning him, all his men that he had been fighting battles with. Now, somehow, out of their discouragement and dismay of their wives and children being taken, all their goods being taken, the city being burned out, somehow they thought stoning David would be the answer. And so because of that, David was even more discouraged. Can you imagine? He lost his wife. They had been taken captive. His children, everything that he had been taken captive. And now his very men wanted to stone him dead. I mean, it couldn't get any worse than that. You talk about discouragement. David had to have been discouraged. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't know about you. Nobody's offered to stone me yet, even though people might have been mad enough at times. I don't know. But going on with this now, notice now. It says, as it reads further here, it says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, the King James Version says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, sometimes when everybody else is against you, as was the case with David, sometimes when nobody else is there to encourage you, how many of you know you need to encourage yourself? You need to begin to talk about your God. You need to begin to talk about how great he is, how wonderful he is, and how much of a deliverer he is from whatever it is that you're going through. So David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, or encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. I won't detail all of that. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David, notice, inquired of the Lord. Everybody say he prayed. He prayed. In this time of great discouragement, in this time of great dismay, he decided, I got to pray. I have to pray. And as it goes on, saying, and this is what he prayed, shall I pursue this troop? He's talking to God. God, what should I do? How do I get an answer? Did you know James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, they can ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. So what did we do? We ask of God. We pray. Ask for God. And ask from God for wisdom as to what to do in your situation. And it says he'll give it to you liberally if you ask in faith, nothing wavering. And so we ask in faith. David inquired of God and asked him, shall I pursue the troops? Shall I overtake them? And he, that's God, answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and read the rest of this narrative, you're going to find out that they did indeed go. They pursued him, if my memory serves me, with 600 men. He went against the Amalekites, and they recovered every single person, every single bit of goods. They recovered it all because David prayed and knew what to do because he prayed. Is everybody okay? All right, so again, some other things to do if you're discouraged. Don't try to go it alone. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26 says this. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So what's it saying? We're a body of Christ. We're in this together, are we not? Amen. If I had time, I'd go through all the one another's. I mean, you know, the Bible talks about, yes, pray one another, encourage one another, be courteous to one another, comfort one another, refresh one another. So many one another's because we're in this together. Amen. And so to be less discouraged or to get out of discouragement, don't try to go it alone. And one of the things that perhaps is happening today is I'm helping you by faith to come out of any discouragement, to realize there is a way out, and you don't have to camp there. You don't have to camp there. And let me tell you something about these thoughts of discouragement. You know, there's a saying that goes like this. You can't help it if a bird flies over your head, but you can help it from keeping or making a nest in your hair. And how does that apply? You can't help it if thoughts cross your mind, but you can help it and keep those thoughts from dwelling in your mind. Isn't that right? From camping or nesting in your thought life. You can take authority over your thoughts. You do have authority over your thoughts, do you not? In Jesus' name. And so don't try to go it alone and then decide you're going to give praise to the Lord no matter what. And I was going to turn there, but I'm out of time. But 2 Chronicles 20 is one of my favorite narratives of the Old Testament. It talks about Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, and all of these enemies. I think it was the Moabites and the Ammonites. They came against Judah, and they were all afraid. They were all afraid because they were surrounded by all these enemies. And then as they're inquiring of God together, they're all praying together and speaking to God. Then a prophet speaks up, and God speaks through that prophet and says basically to him, do not be discouraged. For this battle is not yours, but mine, God says. Amen? And I want you to know, don't be discouraged, because as you place your life in his hands every day and get into the Word of God, the battle's not yours, it's his, and he's going to fight on your behalf in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your word. And Father, I pray for any that might be discouraged today. I come against that discouragement in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke the enemy. I resist the enemy with them right now in Jesus' name. And I command discouragement, depression, all of that to go right now. And Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of this, your people, bringing comfort and strength and encouragement to each and every one, Father God, reminding them that if God be for us, who can be against us? And reminding them that we're overcomers. We're not the ones who are overcome. We are overcomers, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Father God, reminding each and every one, Father, that in you there's hope, in you there is a victory. Father God, we thank you for that, reminding each and every one whenever we have need right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And before we end this, if I could just ask you to just bow your head, just be in an attitude of prayer. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You might say, well, I've been pretty good. I've lived a pretty good life. But you know, you ask yourself the question, have you ever lied, even one time? Have you ever lied? If you ever lied even one time, you're a liar. If you've ever, you know, cheated, if you've ever stolen one time, you're a thief. I mean, all these verses say we've all broken God's law. And because we've broken God's law, we all need forgiveness. The good news is, though, Jesus Christ, God, became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, took upon himself flesh, and took the punishment, the judgment that you and I deserved as one who was sinless. The sinless one took the judgment of the sinful ones, so that as we place faith in him, we receive forgiveness from our sin, and we're in right standing with God. We come into a relationship with the living God. And so if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that if your heart stopped beating, you're not absolutely sure that if you stopped breathing today, that you'd be in heaven, that you'd be in the presence of God, if you're not absolutely sure, you can be sure. And the reason you can be sure is because it's not based on your works. You can't earn your way to heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to make it to heaven. It's too great a thing to gain. All you can do is turn from sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Surrender your life and put faith in what he has done for you. And the Bible says you're saved that way. And so, lest there even be one here today, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. Tomorrow could be too late. If you just indicate that, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come forward. But if you just lift your hand so God can see it and I can see it, we're all going to pray together. Lest there even be one here today, anyone at all. I'm not seeing any hands, but all of us, let's pray this prayer together for the sake of those that might see. All right, somebody might be raising their hand in the back, and so I see a hand. Let's all pray this prayer together based on Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, which says this: if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So we're going to pray a prayer based on what Paul the apostle by the Holy Spirit said to do in order to be saved. So let's all pray this together, and that one who raised his hand and anybody else that should have and didn't, let's all pray this prayer. If you believe it, pray it with me. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for me. I have sinned. I have broken the law of God, and I need forgiveness. And so today, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I believe with all my heart that he not only died, but then he rose again from the dead, and he's alive. So Lord Jesus, come into my life today. Forgive me of my sin, and with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Amen, hallelujah.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you'd like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.